In the studio with me today is Knoxville-based composer Dosha McKay. Dosha, thank you for coming to WUOT to talk about your brand new release, Groundless.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, for those listeners who may not be familiar with you and your work, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where did you go to school, and when did you start composing?
I was born and raised in Poland. I spent the first 20 years of my life over there. I studied classical music there, music performance on flute, and came to the United States in my early 20s. Many things happened, but just to give you maybe a shorter answer, I have been living in Tennessee since mid-90s, I think. I did my undergraduate degree in music composition here at UT. Then I went to New York, to New York University, and got my master's in scoring for film and multimedia.
When did you start composing? Because you first started out studying the flute. So when did you start composing?
You know, when I really think about it, I hesitate to say it like that. I started composing. I think I was experimenting with composing. I remember a scene where my uncle set me near him by the piano and he composed a song, and I observed how he did it. Of course, he said that we both composed, which is not quite true, but it was a nice feeling nonetheless. And after that, I remember when I first started studying flute, I would write simple melodies, just, you know, nothing of significance. I just didn't think that I was allowed to compose. There weren't any adults in my life at that time that were supportive in that way. In other ways, musically, yes, but not in composition. And I was afraid to tell anybody about this. And then I remember in high school, I was always drawn to arranging music. So I was arranging things for woodwind quintet or trio or something. It was always music of other established composers or pop music even, but I never felt at that time that I had the right to compose music, as maybe strange as that seems. So I really did not study music composition formally until my mid-30s, until I was here in Tennessee and started private lessons with Dr. Kenneth Jacobs, who later became my professor here during my undergraduate studies.
After you finished your school, you moved around a little bit, which you referred to, but you eventually decided to return to Knoxville. So I'm curious why you decided on Knoxville.
I suppose the most straightforward answer is that my husband and I returned home because this is where we began our journey. We got married in Jefferson County. I got sworn as an American citizen at the courthouse here in downtown Knoxville. And we had friends here, we had memories here. We have lived here for about 15 years. So after we spent roughly 3 years in New York, then we spent another 5 years in Asheville, then very short stint at Portland, Oregon, we started wondering, you know, where is that place of belonging? Where do we really want to be? And I remember during a breakfast conversation, I said, why aren't we in Knoxville? And the rest is history. We just came back and very glad we did, because this place really does feel like home to both of us.
You have a couple of recordings out of your music, and the Knoxville Symphony has performed a few of your works. How would you describe your style, or can you describe your style?
I think I can only describe my style looking back at it with a perspective of a few years. I look at the music I have composed in prior years, and it seems to me that I have a tendency to this Slavic lyricism, this deep introspection, and maybe even sorrow, grief, which is strange to me to think about it that way, because I don't really feel to myself as a sorrowful person, but a lot of that territory is found in my music, which in the last few years, honestly, I have been kind of straying away from, I think. Who knows? We'll maybe talk about it in another 10 years with a better perspective. But I think in the recent years, I find myself reaching for more ambiguous landscapes, maybe removed from a traditional melody or maybe even traditional harmony. I am drawn to something more abstract, something more imaginary, otherworldly. This is something what I'm reaching for in my music as of late.
With Groundless, you depart a little bit from your previous recordings in that I suppose you could say it draws more influence from electronic music genres. Would you say that that is true? And if so, why did you decide to incorporate more synthesized sounds into your compositions?
Well, electronic sounds and synthesized sounds have been in my vocabulary really from the beginning. I see electronic music and those, let's say, artificially created sounds, if you want to use that terminology, I see them as just another instrument. If I have that capability, then why not use it? If I have the sound of a violin or a live violin player and I want to use a different sound that might add something interesting to the mix, then why not use it? Especially since I do have the technology in training and I know how to achieve the sound that I am looking for. So I don't really see myself as a strict acoustic composer or a strict electronic composer, but when a project calls for it, I feel very comfortable in mixing these two.
And so did you mix acoustic and electronic on Groundless?
That's exactly what happened. Yes, I have a mixture of samples of acoustic instruments and electronic instruments, meaning synthesized sounds or samples of electronic instruments. We're getting into a quite technical territory, but yes, there is a distinction in that.
And so who were the performers on Groundless?
Well, that's a good question. Who are the performers? Because when we are talking about the samples of acoustic instruments for this particular album, because we were in the pandemic, I was not able to invite any live players. So everything that I compose, whatever is happening on the album, everything happened in my studio at home, meaning me sitting in front of the computer and shaping the sound to the outcome that I am looking for. So those acoustic samples of the acoustic instruments that you hear on the album come from libraries of acoustically captured sounds.
Oh, wow. And then did you manipulate them electronically?
Some of them, yes. Yes, absolutely.
That is fascinating to me. So can you tell me more about the process of creating Groundless? Like, where did you start? What came next? What was that like doing most everything yourself in one room?
Yes, so the beginning of the album, well, that happened when we were right in the middle of the pandemic. I knew that I needed some kind of a project to keep myself sane and grounded. I needed a certain predictability in my day, and I needed a purpose. And I thought, you know, it's time to produce another body of work, another album. And it seemed like that would be an ideal project to do that, because I did have the materials. I had the electronic sounds I was looking for. I had the acoustic samples. I just invested in a brand new computer system, so I had the capability to work on it. So the beginning of my work was quite obstinate. It was very difficult to be motivated and to have a vision, like a long-term vision for producing the album and promoting it. Because as you know, in the pandemic, we were not really sure what was going to happen, especially since the music industry was so deeply affected by it. But nevertheless, I started to work on the music and I began with sketches. I didn't want my music to sound in a traditional way. I wanted to maybe experiment a little bit. And I started writing the music, not so much writing it, more I was painting the sound. Because right now I compose my music on a big tablet with a pen. So I use the pen to draw the music. Of course, I'm deeply familiar with the music notation and I am able to convert those let's call them paintings or MIDI paintings. I'm able to convert them into traditional music notation. But for this particular album, I did not need to do that at all. So I basically painted the sound, manipulated it in the way that I saw fit, and did a lot of experimentation with moving the sounds in unexpected ways. I left a lot of things to chance. I welcomed happy accidents in the process. It's much less deliberated than what I have written before.
So when you hear music or when you're composing music, do you actually see colors and paint and artwork being formed?
Well, I'm not synesthetic, if that's what you're asking for. I hear that this is actually a hindrance to many people who have those capabilities. But I think more than anything, I feel shapes. I would compare it to maybe dance, when a group of people dances together, or maybe sometimes when you observe flocks of birds in the sky, or like bees when they come out of the hive.
Uh-huh.
And they fly together. They're all flying separately, but they're kind of in this rhythm together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is kind of what I see in my mind. I see more of a shape, of a progression, unfolding of something. I feel like it's a three-dimensional structure that is constantly changing. Sometimes I do see colors, but it's not as important to me as much as the shape or the texture would be.
It seems like you worked very closely with Siva, the sound engineer for this recording. Tell me more about his role in this project.
Well, Sevai and I met early this spring. I was looking for a sound engineer to bring my project into completion, because although I have done a great amount of work on this album by myself, I have mixed and shaped the sound and, of course, composed all the music, but I still needed a professional to give it a special polish. I like to, with all my albums, to always give that extra, push the music a bit farther, as much as it can go. And I think a sound engineer is absolutely necessary for that process. They are uniquely trained to hear things that we mere musicians can't. We spent, I think it was a couple weeks, 3 weeks maybe, working in his studio on and off. And we had a great time. I just really appreciate his approach and his knowledge, his experience. I also found out that he has trained with many of the great composers that we only read about in our textbooks. So he's familiar with the electronic music scenes from New York, you know, 60s and 70s. And so we were able to have a bit of a nerd talk about that. Yeah, we had a really great time in the studio, and he gave my music final polish, and I'm really very, very proud of the product that we were able to produce.
I saw that you have a few music videos that were created to go along with a couple of your compositions. And for listeners, you can find these on Dosha's website or on her YouTube channel. I find them really mesmerizing, and they coincide with the music really well. Did you create these music videos yourself?
Yes, I have. And that was such a treat for me because, as I mentioned before, I did my master's in film scoring, and we were trained specifically how to compose music to image. Well, this time I had the tremendous luxury of composing the image to my music, which was deeply satisfying. So if you say that these are synced very well, I'll definitely take it as a great compliment, because that was definitely my objective to do so.
They absolutely were. Do you have plans to create more?
Everything creative interests me. So this is quite a new thing. I have never done a music video like this before. I would love to do more. Certainly, if I compose more music like this in a similar venue, absolutely, I would love to do more video, yes. Or if I could find a talented video artist who would like to work with me, that would be interesting also.
Last but not least, what is the meaning behind the album title, Groundless?
To me, it has a double meaning. The phrase, first of all, came from the political commentary in 2020, as we went through a very tumultuous year featuring the presidential election. It felt that every political commentator was using the word groundless, especially groundless accusations. Mm-hmm. So everything was groundless, and everyone had to prove whatever they were interpreting, and there was never enough, and everything was groundless. And I just remember that word. It caught on with me. But as I started thinking about this word, there's another meaning to it. It's a feeling of losing the sense of inner balance to me, because that year was full of upheaval in my private life, in my emotional life, and I'm sure it has been for many of us. I've heard from many friends that that's exactly how they felt. So that's where the title for the album came from.
Doshia, thank you so much for coming to talk about your new recording, Groundless, out now on the Gavia Music label.
Thank you, Melanie. I've enjoyed it.
You can find more information about Doshia and how to listen to or purchase her music at her website, Doshia, spelled DOSIA McKay.com.